This is a replay of the Wednesday night, July 3rd WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope to rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together tonight, and I hope you'll call. If it's on your mind, I'll make sure it's on mine. 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. So I got this email from Lynn. Another guy. Hello, Lynn. I'm never going to call your show, but I listen. No. Please, do call. It makes it easier for me to do, and it's more fun. Well, at least for me anyway. So I hope you will. 888-876-5593. But Lynn assures me he won't. He also assures that I've confused the hell out of him because he now completely doesn't understand Mercury retrograde. And I realize I have not explained this well, at least according to Lynn's interpretation. I won't even go there. All right, so here is the deal. This is an astrological phenomenon, so it's up to you to believe if there's any credence to it whatsoever. All right, so that's number one. This is as unscientific as it gets, but it certainly is historic because astrology has been around forever. And of course, there are two types. There's what we consider to be Western astrology, and then there's Vedic astrology, sidereal astrology, which is Indian astrology. The reality is, for predicting, Vedic astrology is a much better system. It's also much, much, much harder to learn. Western astrology is good for some things as well, especially birth charts and things of that nature. But since most people here in Terra Firma, United States, are looking at a tropical zodiac and we're looking at a Western astrology, we're going to go with that. Though, planets going retrograde, that happens in either system. Now, let me back up and say that no planet actually stops and starts moving backwards. All right, so if one does, we've got much bigger problems than anything I'll be discussing on this show. This is apparent retrograde motion. In other words, when our ancestors years ago were looking at the heavens and determining how the stars affected us and the planets and all that stuff, they did notice that on occasion planets seemed to move backwards. And again, it's apparent motion. It is an actual motion. And they all do it, except for the moon, which is not a planet anyway, but the planets all do it. And the meaning is different depending upon the planet, and of course for the individual, depending on the sign and all that. And if we're talking about the outer planets, you know, the slow movers, like a lot of people are mentioning, gee, Pluto's just got back to where it was when the country was formed. Well, that's about right, because it takes Pluto about 248 years to make a full circle around the zodiac. By comparison, Mercury does it in less than a year. So the further out you go with planets, the longer it takes, for instance, Uranus, usually 84-year cycle. All right, so Saturn, and a lot of people misunderstand Saturn, but we won't go into that right now, though Saturn returns usually between 28 and 30. That's your first Saturn return, and then your second one is usually somewhere between the ages of 56 and 60. All right, but let's get to Mercury retrograde here a moment. And I'm going to try to explain this as easily as I can, because I know what got Len confused is, he's, you're talking about these shadows. All right, here is the deal. Mercury, when it goes retrograde, There is more emphasis placed on it than other planets, though in some ways unfair. But it's claimed that when Mercury goes retrograde, communications and travel are going to go into a big snafu. Again, it's not the time that the airline's going to crash. It may be the time that it'll lose your luggage. You know, it's not the time that you're going to so screw up a contract that you're going to have to declare bankruptcy. But it may be the time that you have to redo it a few times because of the wording. And that's really the emphasis of Mercury retrograde. And so people look at it because it happens 3.5 times a year on average. So, and it's a period for about 3.5 weeks. Now, yeah, is it? All right, so here is the deal. This year, we'll talk about the one that's coming up. Mercury is going retrograde on August 4th, in case you're wondering, at 9:56 p.m. PT. That's right. And when it goes retrograde on August 4th, it will be at 4 degrees of Virgo. That's where it'll be in the sky, in the zodiac. All right? And then Mercury, which all of a sudden, you know, has been going straight, but here comes August 4th, and all of a sudden, ye gosh, it looks like it's backing up. Again, it's just apparent motion. It backs up until August 28th at 2:14 p.m. when it goes direct. Now, when it does that, it has backed up from 4 degrees of Virgo to 21 degrees of Leo. That's quite a while. So traditionally, people thought, well, Mercury retrograde is just that period of time, from the time that it stations and then seems to turn backwards till the time that it stations and seems to go forward once again. Ah, but astrologers know better, so they think. And here's the deal. So if we know Mercury retrograde starts on August 4th at 4 degrees in Virgo and goes until August 28th at 21 degrees in Leo, here's what we want to know. When did it first hit 21 degrees in Leo? Before the retrograde period even got underway? Well, that was July 16th at 8:52 p.m. It will be 21 degrees in Leo. All right, now, that period of time, the 21 degrees in Leo, is important to keep in mind. All right, so it hits 21 degrees in Leo before the retrograde period starts. So July 16th until it goes retrograde on August 4th is the opening shadow of a retrograde. Because on August 4th, it's going to start going backwards, and it's going to go backwards until when? The 21 degrees of Leo. So now for the second one, when it goes direct on August 28th, it's moved all the way back to 21 degrees of Leo. What we want to know now is, when's it going to get back to where it started when it went retrograde, which would be the 4 degrees in Virgo we mentioned? So that was August 4th. So when it goes direct on August 28th until September 11th, when it's back to 4 degrees in Virgo, that's the closing shadow of a retrograde. And the reason for this is that astrologers are looking at the event from what degree is first affected to what degree returns it to prior to the effect. In other words, July 16th, it's 21 degrees in Leo, then it bops along and it goes into retrograde, it goes back to 21 degrees in Leo, and then it turns direct and it bops along, and in September 11th, it gets to where it was when it first turned retrograde, 4 degrees of Virgo. So that's the deal. Those are the shadows, and that's it. And so it sort of elongates the Mercury retrograde period. Again, if you put any credence into this whatsoever, it's interesting. As I say, all the other planets do this, or we believe they do from our viewpoint. It's apparent backwards motion, but what it means, well, that's the subject of discussion. You know, some people say it's heightening things, and other people say it's suppressing things. But I think it's no doubt that the only retrograde period that supposedly really affects your day-to-day activities is what happens with Mercury retrograde. So now you know. All right, solar flares. Yeah, there are some people saying that this is the peak. And, of course, we don't know that until after the fact. But there have been some real emissions from the sun that in some cases, remember, they don't all get to Earth, number one. And number two, they don't all get to Earth with the same volume and intensity as expected when they leave the sun. So July 2nd was a day that everybody was watching. Now, July 10th, a number of people are looking at July 10th. So that's what we have. And it's an active flare period. But again, every 11 years, there's another sunspot cycle, and it goes from virtually no activity to a lot of activity. And so the real concern is there was a prediction, and it's usually NOAA and NASA who are doing these predictions. There was a prediction that it was going to be just virulent this time. It was the intensity was going to be like the Carrington effect. And, of course, that goes back to the 1800s when sunspots were so significant of their effect on Earth that they cut off communications, which was then telegraph wires, which caught on fire. So, of course, if that happened now, that would grind us to a halt. But will it? Nobody knows. So you can have any opinion you want on it in any degree because they're all on YouTube right now. Everybody's got something to say. So 888-876-5593. We'll get to Ruth and Gurney. Leah and Marcus Hook is calling us back. I'm glad to see that. Hopefully she's doing well. And I've got your requests as well. We'll be playing them one by one coming up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and yeah, Les Brown is Band of Renown. Actually, it's an interesting story about that song. It was written during the war, but there was a musician strike, if you'll remember, from 42 to 44, so Les Brown couldn't get that recorded. And then finally, after the strike was over on, I guess it was like November of 44, the war wasn't yet over, of course, but the strike was, and they got together in the studio and picked Doris Day as the vocalist on that. But that was the first hit, 1945, and released, like I say, recorded November 20th. And by the first of the year, it was out there, and just a huge, huge record. And in fact, kind of became the sort of coming home song for a lot of the returning World War II soldiers. So the unofficial homecoming for a number of veterans. The flip side was Twilight Time, by the way. So that was Johnny D's request, and happy to play it. All right, Leah is in Marcus Hook. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Thanks, Raleigh. How are you?
Oh, I can't complain. it's been an up and down day all the way around. But how about you?
Oh, I'm okay. I'm okay.
Good.
I haven't gone for my new teeth yet. So.
No, that's next month, or is it or the end of this month?
Well, it's one of the two. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, when you know that the swelling's totally gone down, that's when you do that.
Right. So I wanted to talk about the gaslighting that you were talking about
Yes. Last
night. I tried to get in, but it was too late.
Ah, well, I'm glad you called back. So, yes, word of the year for 2022, according to Merriam-Webster, gaslighting.
Well, okay, and the lady that called in last night, she said she never hears the word. I have to disagree. I hear it everywhere. Maybe she doesn't watch TV as much as I do, but I hear it everywhere. It's ubiquitous. I mean, every everybody says it on TV.
Well, is it always...
Everybody is accusing everybody of gaslighting nowadays.
And I wonder, is it always used in its proper sense?
Yeah.
So there's a real movement to people undermining other people to cause them to doubt their own beliefs?
Yes. And you know what? When Albert and I were together before in the 90s, when he was on drugs, he used to do it to me all the time.
Give me an example.
Well, like something would go missing.
Uh-huh.
Like something of mine would go missing.
Uh-huh.
And I knew I had it there on the thing. And he had moved it, or he had taken it for some reason to sell for cocaine or something, right? And I said, where's my whatever, piece of jewelry or whatever?
Yeah.
And what piece of jewelry? I never saw it before. It wasn't there.
Okay.
Stuff like that, you know?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a shame. The planet is really not necessarily the best place to incarnate, I guess. So, more people talking about it now, though, I suppose, which is interesting because
people are using that all on TV, on Facebook, everywhere. People are talking about gaslighting.
It's interesting that's why I wonder if it's used in the proper sense, because if it is, are there that many people who are intentionally trying to undermine others to cause them to doubt their own beliefs?
There are.
I guess, fortunately, I know the right people or the wrong people, depending on how you look at it, because I can't think of an instance.
Really?
No. But I'm sure...
And
my
mom used to do it to me, too, before she died.
Yeah.
She was on medication and stuff, and she used to do it to me. Yeah, she used to do it to me, too.
Wow.
But I can't remember an example, but she used to do it to me, too.
So when that happens, and you know that you're being victimized by this, because obviously you're aware of this, how do you respond?
Well, with my mom, I didn't get that mad. But with Albert, I just get furious. And I used to...
Interesting.
Oh, we had knockdown, drag-out fights, you know?
Yeah. Interesting. Well, there you go. So, yeah, it probably has been going on as much in the past as now, but for some reason, the word has been popularized more than it had been in the past. The activity probably is somewhat static, but referring to it in that way has increased.
Well, I don't know. It happens a lot. It happens
a lot
that's
what
more
I mean,
than you
but,
think.
No, that's what I'm saying, but I assume that it always did. I don't think human nature changes. I just think it's now in vogue to call it that.
I think people are more aware of it.
I hope so. That'd be a happy thing.
People are more, just like the word narcissist. For some reason, I see that everywhere now. I hear it everywhere now. People are saying, you're a narcissist. You're a narcissist. For some reason, I don't think everybody knows what narcissist is.
It's just people who have an unreasonably high sense of their own importance more than anything.
I know, but for some reason, I think a lot of people who use that word don't really understand the meaning.
Yeah, I'm sure that's right. And of course, a narcissist would absolutely engage in gaslighting. So there you go.
Right, exactly.
No
so
doubt
those
about
two
that.
Words
yeah.
are the words that I hear everywhere on all my shows on TLC, the fiancé shows, all the fiancé shows.
Yeah, I see a lot of it on YouTube, too, actually, when I'm looking through the various videos looking for my nuts, and it'll be how to deal with a narcissist, or, you know, is your husband a narcissist?
Yeah.
There are a lot of those. And I'm like, no, I just want people who have left the planet. So, all right. Well, thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, I like the real far-out nuts there, because, you know, that is interesting enough that my mind doesn't wander, but ridiculous enough that I don't lie awake listening. So usually I'm done by the first 6 or 7 minutes of one of these. Now, of course, the speaker's still on and I'm asleep, so you do wonder, what am I hearing while I'm sleeping? Yeah, I don't dwell on that for too long. We'll get to Ruth and Gurney and you two coming up on WGN Radio. We'll be right back. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Linda in Richton Park wanted to hear, Cleo's back. Yeah, I know. What about her front? All right, so here's the deal. That was a flip side, actually, speaking of front and back. It was a B-side, 1965, on Soul. The A-side was Shakin' Finger Pop. And it was produced by none other than Harvey Fuqua. And, of course, Junior Walker and the All-Stars. So 1965 on Soul. All right, 888-876-5593. Ruth is in Gurnee. What's happening tonight, Ruth?
Hi, Raleigh. Well, I haven't called for a while. It was too hard to hold the phone.
Oh.
And so I tried to listen as many times as I could, so it wasn't as much as it would have been normally, but I do everything I can to avoid the doctor.
No, I don't blame
and
you.
So I'm just trying on my own to get through it, and then I will determine whether I have to go on a different avenue of approach than what I've been, you know, trying to get myself straightened up with a great deal of adversity. But anyway, it's the night before the 4th of July, and I thought this would be a poignant, a couple of comments to make. So interesting to cultivating the fascinating part of your program. Well, I had gone to Tony's, who has a whole lot of stores in the Chicagoland area, and he has some incredible murals on the wall, and it was a stormy day, and it was my first trip out on a disability bus, which was one time in the last 6 months. And I had a rain check for a ham at 69 cents a pound, one of my favorites. Once, and almost like a Kentucky legend that's that good. So it took them 45 minutes to decide that I had to get there within 2 weeks. And I said, well, what about everybody else? It's 30 days for a rain check. No, we're not going to give it to you. So I went down the aisles, and I found a whole container of them for 69 cents a pound. Mm. So they kind of had wasted my time. But I'd put in a request, a petition, for people to sing America the Beautiful when they were walking down the aisles of a store.
Oh, my God.
And
Where did you put in this petition?
To God, to my beloved Father.
I see. All right, all right.
To the universal.
All right, all right.
To the universe.
Yeah, all right. So a universal call for people to sing America the Beautiful in grocery store aisles.
Right, and so I didn't say anything much to anybody publicly.
Smart.
But when I got to that store, and there were long lines in a Hispanic area predominantly, and most of them really weren't even speaking English, I said, why don't I do this myself, which I thought I couldn't do.
So
I couldn't
don't
go down
me.
All these aisles.
You didn't.
I started singing.
Oh, God.
America the Beautiful, in honor of a Congressional Medal of Honor winner, a chaplain, a Catholic chaplain. And so all these people are waiting in line, and I'm standing at the end of, not standing, I'm in the wheelchair at the end of the counter, and I started singing America the Beautiful, and I found an avenue of approach for doing what I wanted other people to do. So I thought for the 4th of July, my idea could metastasize and spread itself in grateful appreciation for all of the things that we are counting our blessings for, even though it is so incredibly difficult with the prices. And I want to get into
Wait, wait. I want to know this. You're burying the lead. When you're belting out America the Beautiful to, in front of unsuspecting people, many of whom don't speak English, what was the reaction?
Well, that's interesting.
I mean, that's the story.
There would be a, did they really realize what I was singing? And so sometimes my voice turns out to be sounding really good, and it was at one time previously until it got much older. But some of them, I sort of figured out that they were having a hard time personally within their lives financially, you know, and all kinds of things, and you can always find them. They have one, two, or three jobs, because I've tried to hire in the Hispanic community.
Did they throw you out of the store?
Givers.
Did Did they throw?
So what did you say?
Did they throw you out of the store?
No, they did not. You would not get thrown out in the United States of America for doing a blessed song. It
I don't know.
Exist.
All right. Did several people decide to choose another checkout aisle?
I don't know what they did. I only know that I did what I did, and yeah. I'm just incredibly happy that I could be the first one to do it instead of expecting somebody else to do it. Now, I want to go to real quickly two things, a comment for Jim in Richmond.
Yes.
And also for the incredible day, night that they called in this lady from Oak Lawn who was trying to find a song, a title, and I kept listening, and I was totally enjoying how she was attempting for this avenue of approach to get to what she was looking for, and how brilliant it all was, and how anybody could figure out what that song was. And I couldn't decide if that was the time when I was going to bust into laughter. And it was so poignant and so phenomenal. And then came Johnny D with his Valley of the Green Fields. Mm-hmm. And the way he did it, and I thought to myself, now I've got to bust out in laughter because this is phenomenal. And I want to hear this all the time. I want people to call up
and
do these songs like Johnny D did or that lady did. And hard ones that you couldn't figure out, and then the easy one that they figured out from Johnny D. So for Johnny D, I've got a can do. Okay, so that's it. I hope I hear the other listeners out there, and I know everybody that was listening to those two that night.
Right.
God, it was just so spontaneous and so incredible. It just made it all such down-to-earth, wholesome journalism, radio journalism. So now back to Richmond Jim.
Yes.
I got to realizing what his adversity thing was involved with being distanced away from something that he couldn't figure out what was going on. And your answers about other people acting like that, it was like you have a degree from every university in the United States in whatever the curriculum is. If it's medical, if it's psychology, astrology.
Wait, interrupt. I got to interrupt you. John knows the song. He said it's from Guys and Dolls. He doesn't know the name of the song, but it's from Guys and Dolls. Okay.
Right. Okay, so you got that one answered.
Yes.
And so I forgot about that, but you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Now, back to Jim from Richmond.
Yes.
So this would be my suggestion and advice, because I'd had so many situations with so many people in so many directions for a good 35, 40 years that I never expected to have that kind of burden thrown on. And I have one particular person who went to visit a gravesite at the military cemetery for a World War II decorated Marine whose lungs collapsed. First one from malaria, North Africa, and then the second one, the lung collapse. And at the wake, at the funeral, this person was only a little over a year old. And he went back a few months ago, 50 years later, to see his grandfather's grave. And all those years that he didn't have his grandpa, my advice for Jim from Richmond is to do a GoFundMe for a bagpipe scholarship, which they would play that hockey song that you played a few weeks ago during the finals. It was a fabulous hockey song, and I'm not into hockey, never been to one of the games, but that was a terrific song, and a bagpiper, since he was a coach for hockey, would play that song at games, and he could find a GoFundMe account and still carry through a lifetime mission through having been a coach and not letting the discouragement of being distanced away from the thing that is so important to him. He's a grandpa. God bless your family. Jim, pray for your children like you're counting your blessings, and the stars in heaven are the windows to heaven, to the soul. Count your blessings by praying for those kids.
All right.
Because it's going to be there someday. If it's this lifetime or a next lifetime, no good deed will go unnoticed. Pray for your grandchildren. Gosh. Pray for them like their lives dependent
All
on
right.
it.
Ruth has spoken.
And it'll be just the greatest blessed thing that he could do. And
All
again,
right.
God bless his family.
Well, thank you.
I understand what the struggle is.
All right.
And the guy that went back to see his grandpa, all these years he missed out having that grandpa to be with him growing up. And that grandpa wishes he could be there.
All right.
Not to have all you want with your grandchildren, but to say those prayers.
Very
and
good.
His oldest grandson.
We're done. We're done.
Was named. He named it down the Catholic chaplain at Great.
We gotta be done, Ruth. We just gotta be done. I will talk to you soon. I gotta play commercials. Thank you for calling.
Bye.
All right. So, I think Jim just wanted to read the labels. All right. 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio. And I'm going to mention the CC Radio 3 for a moment. It is truly the almost everything radio. It's the one John keeps by his bedside because he loves that Bluetooth speaker. And man, I'll tell you what, you got your smartphone. Maybe it doesn't sound too good on a smartphone. Use that Bluetooth speaker. It's going to sound great. So that right there, whether it's podcasts or anything else that you want to just hear better than you're hearing it, it's great for that alone. But, like all of the radios that Bob Crane has developed, it has terrific reception, AM and FM. And it does sound magnificent. Audio quality for the spoken word sounds like the host is next to you. You've got bass and treble controls. You can adjust it to your perfect pitch, whatever it is that you want, to immerse yourself in audio clarity. Now, not only terrific reception for AM and for FM, but it's got emergency capabilities too, like the NOAA weather band and the 2-meter ham band. Yeah, you'll hear things there that you're not hearing anywhere else. So it's got a clock and a timer and an alarm, a little dial light. It's digital. You can set presets, but you can also fine-tune in 1 kilohertz increments if you want on AM and FM as well, megahertz. And you can read all about it at ccradio.com, ccradio.com. It runs on the included power cord, but if you're a real DXer, you probably want to use a set of batteries. And you know, they'll last over 170 hours. So if you go to ccradio.com, look at the CC Radio 3. It might be the answer to all of your radio dreams. And if you want a free catalog, especially if you can't go online, give them a call and they'll mail it out to you. And that's 800-522-8863, 800-522-TUNE. Won't cost you a dime. And, you know, the neat thing about the catalog, and especially the online website as well, not only great products, but wonderful information as well. So a lot of your questions about reception and antennas and all that are you know, done at length on the website at ccradio.com. Now, yeah, you can get the products usually very, very quickly at Amazon or REI or Bi-Mart, but for the real experience and to find out everything about the CC Radio 3 and all the other wonderful products from the C-Crane Company, go to ccradio.com, ccradio.com. Also, sign up for the C-Crane newsletter. You'll be the first to know about exclusive offers, and they won't spam you. I think it's really terrific. One of the many radios that, as far as I'm concerned, can't do without it. The CC Radio 3 from the C-Crane Company. You tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio. And all that. I know. Cleveland Dennis's request. That's what it was.
Took my little Jenny to a party last night. At 10 o'clock it ended in a heck of a fight. When someone hit my Jenny, she went out like a light. Poor Jenny. And then some joker went and called the cops on the phone. So everybody scattered out for places unknown. I couldn't carry Jenny, so I left her alone. Poor Jenny. Well, Jenny had
got her picture in the paper this morning. She made it with a bang. According to the story in the paper this morning, Jenny is the leader of a teenage gang. Jenny has a brother and he's hot on my trail. Her daddy wants to ride me out of town on a rail. I hope I'll be around when Jenny gets out of jail. Oh, Jenny. She was locked in a cell. She wasn't very glad to see me, that I could tell. In fact, to tell the truth, she wasn't looking too well. Poor Jenny. Her eye was black, her face was red, her hair was a fright. She looked as though she'd been crying half of the night. I told her I was sorry, she said, get out of sight. Poor Jenny. It seems a shame that Jenny had to go get apprehended. A heck of a fate. This party was the first one she ever had attended. It had to happen on her very birthday. Jenny has a brother and he's hot on my trail. Her daddy wants to ride me out of town on a rail. I hope I'll be around when Jenny gets out of jail.
WGN Radio, a two-minute soap opera indeed, and it was a flip side for the Everly Brothers. It was Felice and Boudreaux Bryant, and I think it is just probably more than anything they've written, just an exemplary example of their creativity. I just laughed at that. And actually, it didn't get much airplay initially because the A side was Take a Message to Mary, which was more of a hit. But man, as far as long term, because this came out in 1959, I'd say Poor Jenny has it all over everything else. So 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. So I saw another article about Americans ditching their smartphones, which is interesting. The premise of all this is just the amount of time that it's eating up in people's lives, and people finally coming to the conclusion, especially if they're a little older, you know, hey, my life is passing me by while I'm doing this stuff. And so a lot of people going back to dumb phones. But what was most interesting to me was an article in the Daily Mail about the effect of smartphones on young children. And this was actually a study that was done with a lot of kids aged 3.5 on average in Hungary. And what it was parents who had been pacifying children with their temper tantrums or whatever, their excitable moods, just hand them the phone, you know, whatever the stressful situation was, they would just, you know, give the kid the phone, which really was giving themselves a break more than anything. But what has been interesting is that while the trend is continuing that more and more parents are giving kids phones to pacify them when they're, and this is young kids, very young kids, when they're in emotional heightened states, what researchers have now found is that it is short-circuiting the kids' ability to learn to control their own emotions, frustration management, anger management. And, you know, you go a year or two later and the kids are scoring woefully deficient on these scales. So emotion regulation problems and, you know, we don't know yet what it's going to turn out for them to be adults because the surveys haven't been going on that long. But the bottom line is tantrums cannot be cured by digital devices. And when you do that, you're setting yourself up for problems later. So I thought it was fascinating as far as that goes. And parents need to be involved in the learning process, not hand them a digital device. It certainly is easy, isn't it? So in the journal Frontiers in Child and Adolescent Psychiatry, they also showed that they did research the other way as well, where they found children who had poor baseline anger management skills, and they looked back to find out what were the parents doing to pacify them, and which is shouldn't be pacified at all. But is the answer was the kids with the poorest baseline anger management skills were most likely to be given digital devices. And so not surprising, because again, it's easy. But apparently, especially if there was a problem to begin with, it can lead to the escalation of a pre-existing issue, and that's interesting. More recently, I've been seeing a lot of articles on CPSD, which, yeah, complex post-traumatic stress disorder, stemming from childhood abuse, emotional, it could be physical as well, but bottom line is that things that that were brushed aside by the kid later, very often, they're setting up a PTSD-like existence. And, man, there are a number of fascinating examples of that. And, of course, they're working on what to do about it. And, yet, too bad that you can't just take a pill. It's not like that. But if you find that you are just unusually anxious, you might want to look into CPTSD because you might resonate with some of those symptoms. And yeah, it's only in the last decade or so, but increasingly people who are respected, to say the least, not the back pages of the National Enquirer, are coming to agreement that there is such a thing as complex post-traumatic stress, and that it does particularly affect kids who had. I don't want to say troubled childhoods, but to the point where there were chronic issues. And it manifested even more so when the kid supposedly was resilient and just dealing with it. Yeah, well, later, hello. Yeah, so very often you put your demons in the closet. Well, they come out at the most inopportune times, don't they? All right, so 888-876-5593. We got 2 hours to talk about whatever's on your mind. I'll play your request too coming up on WGN Radio.
Peel me a grape, crush me some ice, skin me a peach, save the fuzz for my pillow. Talk to me nice, talk to me nice, you've got to wine me and dine me. Don't try to fool me, be you me, either amuse me or lose me. I'm getting hungry. Peel me a grape. Pop me a cork, French me a fry, crack me a nut, bring a bowl full of bonbons, chill me some wine, keep standing by, just entertain me, champagne me, show me you love me, kid love me, best way to cheer me, cashmere me, I'm getting hungry.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yes, that's Diana Krall. She's pretty terrific, actually, I think. And, of course, Canadian and has been recording since the 80s, actually. She's quite young. She was singing in restaurants when she was in junior high school. So 1997 on Impulse, Peel Me a Grape was from the album Love Scenes. And that was a request from Eduardo in Tampa. So we've got Fran and Austin. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. Oh, I love that song, Peel Me a Grape.
Yeah, boy, I tell you, that's right.
I wonder how many versions of that, because I've heard several.
Oh, I'm sure there are a lot, but as far as the first one, let's take a look at that. I bet you it's in secondhand songs. We'll find out in a minute here. Dave Frischberg wrote it, but let's see. Oh, Anita O'Day was the first.
Oh, okay. That's not surprising.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, it isn't surprising at all. 1962. And there have been 109 covers. So Cal Jader and Anita O'Day did it first, August of 62. So, yeah.
Wow. It also sounds like something that Eartha Kitt could have done a bang-up job.
Oh, I agree. I absolutely
agree. I love
her.
She is just fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you betcha. So, yeah, you know, sadly, Dusty Springfield tried it, too. And, boy, Dusty's heart was always in the right place, but it didn't always come out so good.
Right. Yeah, that's true. I like a few of her songs.
Oh, yeah, I do too, but usually it's not covers of standards or things like that. Like
exactly, no. No, in fact, for a while there was this unfortunate thing where all these singers who were kind of losing their appeal decided to try and do standards.
Oh, God,
like
yes.
Rod Stewart. Oh, my God, that's a terrible...
I know. Believe me, it's truly painful. And
okay, why are you going to ruin the standards? Go ruin something else.
Right, exactly. Or do what you're good at. You know, something caused you to sell records to begin with. Stick with that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I guess when that stops working for them, they try to go to that or something. I don't know.
But speaking of that, I got an interesting email last night. And it wasn't meant for this show. It was actually meant for KJ. And it was Bruce Blackman, the lead singer of Starbuck. And they've digitized and remixed and all that. Moonlight Feels Right. And, you know, I had to write and tell him, no, I just want the original 45 mixes. You know, nothing else.
Right.
Please. But you know, I said, but, hey, if you want to come and join me on WGN. And he said, I'd love to. So maybe we'll talk to him next week.
Oh, that'd be good.
Yeah, because I liked a lot of Starbucks stuff, you know, other than the hit. I thought they were just a cute little group for quite a while, but I was somewhat saddened that they decided that they were going to, like, redigitize some of this. Leave it the way it was.
You know? Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, I'm trying to think of what else I've heard besides Moonlight Feels... Oh, I know I've heard something else.
Oh, yeah. Well, one of my favorites actually was an album cut, Lash LaRue. But,
I've never heard that.
Before. Yeah, no, it's cute. I should play that for you. But there was I Got to Know was the other hit, if you want to call it a hit. Do you remember I Got to Know?
No.
All right, let me see if that's on this. It should be on this computer. Let me see. If it is, I'll play a little bit because it got some airplay, you know, for a minute there. But let's see. I think I have found it. All right, yeah. So here's what it was.
I helped you with your problems. You ought to help me with mine. Whoa.
I remember this. Now I remember it.
It was
definitely.
A good little record, I thought.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll play that and talk to him about that. Now,
it's one of those things I think I've only heard maybe 3 or 4 times.
Right. Because it just wasn't big, but I just thought it was terrific. So now, did you hear I played Foxy last night, their version of I Like the Way You Love Me?
Yes. I like that version.
Yeah. Yeah, it's and you know a flip side that nobody cared about, but I thought that actually should have gotten some airplay somewhere.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah, I heard that. Yeah, very
good.
Nice.
Good.
I still love the original, of course.
Oh, well,
because
yeah.
I'm always, you know,
yeah.
I always tend to like the one I first heard. There are exceptions to that.
Right, but very few. I agree with you. Usually, it's the first one, even if it wasn't the original. It's the one that caught your ear. Yeah,
exactly.
I know. I feel the same way about them.
Anyway, you're talking about cell phones and the effect it's having on kids and that kind of thing. And I'm thinking, you know, that's what they said when I was young and my mom used to plop me in front of the TV.
Well, it was the same thing. And don't think that television is a babysitter. Same kind of deal, although probably easier with the smartphones when the kid's in the height of a tantrum. But I think a lot of these explain why a lot of people are dysregulated today.
Yeah, it does seem that a lot of people, and I'm not saying this about all younger people by any means, but several that I've seen seem to have a little bit of impulse control problem.
Right.
Get, you know, really thin-skinned. You know, I don't know whether that has something to do with it or what, but, you know, I remember people used to say, well, you know, these kids are going to, they're rotting their brains with that TV. And
well, and to an extent, it probably did.
It might have. I think, actually, my mom was lucky because she put on a side of an album. I would sit quietly and listen to that whole side of the album.
Oh, wow.
And so she could get, you know, and, you know, before she would let me, you know, she wouldn't, of course, no, don't touch the record player. Come tell me when you need to turn it over. Heck with that. I did that about twice. I lost patience with that, and I figured out how to turn it over.
Of course. Of course. Yeah.
And she says, you're going to break the stereo. Oh, my God.
Yeah, no, no, you're not. Yeah,
yeah. No, I'm not.
Yeah, that's so sad. Yes, yes. How to minimize your child? Yes, sadly.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
You can do anything anyone else can do, but don't do that.
Right. You're right. Right. Yes. You can do anything anyone else can do, but don't try it. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So just, don't try this at home.
Right. Right. Yeah. Just so sad. But why that article caught my eye is because, you know, there's been a lot of talk about, like I say, teens and kids in their 20s. I guess those are adults now. But and the effect of cell phones and all this. But the idea that they're doing study on three-year-olds, I thought that was very interesting, that the follow-up study showed that there was an absolute decline in ability to handle emotions.
I can see that. Yeah, especially if every time the kid gets upset, you give it a tablet or, you know,
right,
something. I've seen, you know, people I know doing that.
Right.
And
well, these are tomorrow's leaders.
Me,
yeah, right.
With my mom, she'd give me something to eat. You know, that's
right.
What I've got.
Right.
Then she asked me why I'm overweight.
Well, there you go. Exactly right. They set up a whole other group of problems, right, and blame you for
yeah.
it. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be very interesting to see. And of course, you know, every generation looks at younger people and says, I don't know about young people. So that's, you know, province of being old. I get that.
Kids
but,
today. These kids yeah, today are crazy
right.
music.
Right. All of that. but it is a complete, you know, now paradigm shift from tradition, like we've talked about often. The real downside of digital involvement in kids is that it never goes away. They can't individuate and try on identities and all that because it'll follow them forever. And
another thing too is that they'd rather text than talk.
Oh yes, yes, and that's why you'll notice all the cell companies talk about unlimited voice, you know, unlimited calling. That's right, because nobody is.
Nobody wants to do it.
Right, it's all data. It's all data, data, data. I'll just text.
I know my aunt, she was really upset because her grandkids, she wanted to know something, and she's, all my grandkids do is send me these little pictures, these little emojis.
Yeah.
And, you know, her feelings were hurt, and I said, Annie, that's the way kids are now. That's
right.
What you're going to get.
The fact that she got anything at all is a plus.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Just be glad you got the emojis.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And, yeah. So, but I just was remembering the way they, you know, used to say that about us and television. But I think it's much more because, I mean, it affected our language skills to some degree, but not to the degree that it, you know, because all the kids know how to do is text.
Right. Well, it also wasn't as pervasive, you know. I mean, that's what people are starting to say, especially adults who are looking at it and saying, you know, 95% of my waking life is attached to the phone. And, you know, I don't carry them. You know, I just don't. But, of course, you know, I bring my laptop everywhere, so I'm probably just half as guilty at least.
Yeah.
But,
of course, I have my phone going all the time, but there's so many things that I do that are on it, like, you know, my reading and,
oh, well, sure,
you know, my books and all that stuff. And so...
Oh, yeah, from that standpoint, it's a godsend. No two ways about it. But
it's one of these. Yeah, it's one of these things. Technology giveth and technology taketh away.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. All right. Well, so everything going good other than that?
Oh, it's going okay. I wish I could get a full night's sleep, but other than that, I keep getting these like 3 or 4 hour little. I want a whole. At least 8 hours sleep.
Wouldn't that be nice?
A whole continuous,
Yeah. Believe me, I relate, especially today, because last night, you know, I guess I certainly was in bed long enough for a full night's sleep, but I was in pain, so every hour I'd wake up. And
yeah,
you know,
that's me with my shoulder.
Right.
If I turn over,
Oh, yeah. Yeah, zingo. And then, of course, you try to find the sweet spot so the pain will be less. And if I lie this way, maybe that way. Well, maybe if I put a pillow here. Yeah. And, you know, I probably spent half the night with logistics.
And then what happens to me is I get nice and comfortable.
Oh.
And I'm starting to doze off. And I have to get up and go to the bathroom.
Oh, guaranteed. No, and that also is the province of getting old, no doubt about it. But no, I do everything prophylactic I can for that. When I first get up and I'm uncomfortable, I think, I'm going to the bathroom now because I know once I get comfortable, I'm going to have to go. So, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think last night there were at least a dozen trips. So.
Mama said there'd be nights like this.
Right, exactly. And then, you know, the other side of this, if this is the worst that happens, I'm just fine compared to what some people face. But I know what you mean. The idea of lying down, going to sleep, and not waking up until the next morning or afternoon, depending on when you went to sleep, and nothing in between, I don't know what that would feel like.
Yeah, I'd like to know. I get when I lay down, all the things that I try not to worry about and try to distract myself from during the day come creeping out of their little corners.
Oh, yeah. No, that's why I have my nuts on YouTube. That's what I say. I look for things that will distract me from doing that, from getting on that regurgitation roll where you're just churning everything again and again. And it's a hard thing because you have to find something that's interesting enough that it'll keep your attention from your mind wandering. But it can't be so interesting that it'll keep you from sleeping. So
yeah,
you have
to find, I read before I go to sleep, and I have to make sure that I don't read a good book.
Exactly. That's right. That's right. Because you're not going to put it down, you know, because you're in the good part.
Right.
Yeah, no. That can be fatal. But yeah, I suggest find the appropriate YouTube nuts, whatever it is, that will kind of catch your attention, but not so much that it'll keep you awake.
Yeah, that's what I try to do.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, there's nothing, you know, after your show, there's nothing on talk radio anymore. So.
Well, no, but I mean, you know, you go to YouTube, you line up some videos like Joni Petrie. She's predicting World War III now. So, of course, I don't know how it came out because I only heard the first 6 minutes of her. But that was great. 6 minutes. It kept my mind off other things. And then I fell asleep.
Hey, that works.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever works.
That's exactly right. So try to find some of those.
I will do that.
All right. Good deal. Report back. Thanks.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Bye.
All right. 888-876-5593. We'll get to Dave in LaSalle. He's got some requests. And James on the South Side has some stories. And there's room for you, too, on WGN Radio.
Somewhere there's music, I'll paint the tune. That you love me, it's I love you. Somewhere there's music, wonder how far. Somewhere there's heaven, it's where you are. The darkest night would shine if you would come to me soon. Until you will, still my heart, I'll hide.
James, and that's it. How High the Moon, Les Paul and Mary Ford. And Mary would be 100 this weekend, born in 1924 in El Monte in Los Angeles area. And sadly, you know, when they were together, it was great, but... Yeah, they. It was actually Les's second marriage. I think it was her third, but had some quick marriages earlier. But what occurred was sort of three things that led to their absolute downfall. One was that he was frenetically working. And at the same time, their careers had really slowed down because, of course, you know, the new rock and roll, that's the end of pop standards and all that. And so that caused Mary to want to, you know, stay home and take it easy. That caused Les to say, I'm going to be out there. I'm going to be beating the drums, so to speak. And so there was that. But the subtext was she was became, I don't know that she was before this period of time, but became an absolute alcoholic. And this was a problem for about 5 years before they divorced, and ultimately they did a very acrimonious divorce. It was all over Los Angeles. Actually, it was Gene Autry who introduced them originally. And like I say, I think she had had a couple of quick marriages, and he had had one and a couple of kids from that. But in any event, it was not a pretty thing for them. And sadly, she ultimately, I think she was 53 years old when she died. She'd gotten remarried. I think after their divorce, she married like a high school sweetheart. I don't know what happened to that as far as that goes. But, you know, a decade later, it was in the mid-70s, and she was back in the same area of the San Gabriel Valley, this time Arcadia. And she was in a diabetic coma for 8 weeks, 53 years old when she died. But again, fueled heavily by the alcoholism. So nonetheless, while they were hot, they were really hot. But isn't it interesting how many performers, when they hit that cold spot, it just overtakes their life. One that comes to mind for me always was Spade Cooley, and you know that outcome. And some people weather the storm and create a life worth living, and then others just don't make it. Now, of course, can't say that Les Paul didn't, because he went on, he bounced back, and he was around. Gosh, I think he died in his mid 90s. He was living in White Plains, and always on Joy Reynolds on WOR, and it was a lot of fun. So he was rejuvenated. No doubt about that. All right. So 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. And that's going to take us to Dave and LaSalle after the news, which is coming up right now on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. So about 20 years after Les Paul and Mary Ford, there was Gloria Gaynor, 1975 on MGM, doing it. And there are over 544 versions of How High the Moon. And actually, originally it was Francis Comstock and Alfred Drake, and then Benny Goodman had done it. But, you know, as far as anybody's concerned, what really just made it magic was Les Paul and Mary Ford. But 544 versions, everybody, June Christie, Christie and Sammy Davis Jr. to Gloria Daynor and Ringo Starr, you know, so on, Emmylou Harris, on and on the list went. So yeah, that's one of those songs that just keeps on giving. It was actually from a Broadway show, Two for the Show. Morgan Lewis did the music, and I think it was Nancy Hamilton on the lyrics. So 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh, Dave in LaSalle. How's it going, Dave?
Hi, Raleigh. How are you?
All right, what's up?
I'm a little worse. Too many swims in the movie.
Ah.
Okay, listen up. Would you play Little Town Flirt?
Little Town Flirt, Del Shannon on Big Top, of course. I will be happy to do that.
I have one other one. You may have done this, and I know you were talking about Eddie Cochran a little while back. Did you do Sitting in the Balcony?
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Could you do that one?
Yeah, absolutely. I could do it again, but yeah, we absolutely did. But I'm getting Little Town Flirt because I know it's on this computer. And there it is, yes, right from the 45. All right. We will play that. And Sitting in the Balcony, you got it.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it. All right, so 888-876-5593. Oh, that's going to take us to James and his cavalcade of stories. How's it going tonight, James?
I'm doing fine.
Good.
I'm doing fine.
Good.
And I was a little worried about the, but they were so good ones. I said there's not nothing that would basically consider be radioactive. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, there were several stories as far as that goes. Like I say, I was interested in the phone stories you sent because it's the first time we've seen anything where there was research on how, you know, 3-year-olds were reacting in the coming years to just being placated with a phone. Now I don't know. I'm not around too many 3-year-olds. I'm not 100% sure what they're doing with the phone.
Okay, now I've seen ones where they just simply give them and it comes to a story or something, they get all to the tuned into it and it becomes almost like a pacifier.
Yeah, well, that's why they're doing it. Of course, that's why they're doing it. But I'm surprised that many 3-year-olds find it fascinating.
Yeah, And really, I think at some point somebody said, wait a minute, this is not completely, because this can't be a completely great thing. And obviously it's not, because guess what? If you need something else to control you, then you've got a problem.
Well, yeah. To say the least. So yeah, there were several things. Was there anything in particular where you said, "Man, I'm enthralled with this story"?
Oh, yeah, there was like the one where one of the persons who was the recipient of a donor's for that life-saving donation, basically asked the donor's father to walk them down the aisle.
Oh, I did see that, yes. Yes, and that was a transplant situation where she did that for Dad, and I'm sure that that it was not a dry eye in the house. Now, the story, a woman discovers the man she's dating is the blood donor who saved her life 11 years ago wasn't quite as surprising. That's, again, kind of a happy thing. But we've got couples who discovered they were brother and sister?
Yeah, that one, okay, I'm like thinking, uh-oh, sounds like something that, of course, if it were in a different territory of movie category, we would be talking with a few exes. Let's put it that way.
Yep, I guess. So yes, as always, much appreciated. There was another one
where this nurse basically kept it secret that she was donating her kidney to save her father's life.
Yeah.
And he was against it, and he had really good reasons. He had already lost his other child to cancer 15 years earlier, and he did not want anything to happen to his other child.
Absolutely. So I can certainly understand that. Now, there were a few others. Researchers making robots with human skin and ligaments to produce smiles. Oh, that's just lovely.
There's one I kept. I didn't send. I said no. Let's just simply. This is enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll put it. I said this can be for. If not tomorrow, it can be for next week.
Or never, believe me, because there's another thing, too. Look at your sources on these stories. If it's not a publication you've heard of, forget about it, because there are so many that are little more than clickbait.
Yeah, and then and of course, there was a lot of, like, interesting stuff about autism, how
yes.
That was real fascinating.
Well, there is.
I think I read all of them.
Yeah, there is, as far as that goes. There are 1 in 45 adults have some form of autism, and in many cases don't know it. The worst thing about it is that it almost depletes individuals of any energy reserve for traumatic or stressful events, because their whole life becomes stressful. So, yes.
Yeah, it's just like one sort of, a whole ongoing trauma.
Yeah, well, that's right. And so there's so many things that we, we're just now learning in terms of psychology. And of course, who knows how much of it is actually right, because a lot of it is still in the theory phase. But I used to say that you have a lot of time on your hands if you can debate if this is going on in your life. But for some people, it's not the kind of thing that they can easily avoid. It literally is ruling their lives. And if that's the case.
Yeah.
And it
really puts a real shine to the famous phrase made famous by a certain charity that a mind is a terrible thing to waste.
Well, you know, the thing, it's true, but the thing it comes down to is most parents are not criminal, larcenist, rotten people. They do the best they can. And that's, I really believe that's true for most of them. But they're flawed human beings like the rest of us. So, clearly there are several things that are going to be traumatic in every child's life. I don't care about the situation. It's the pervasiveness on that, how much of that there is, that I think it becomes a part of it. But, there are, like I say, increasingly a number of articles on that, because I think that we are seeing people right now who are at a fever pitch. You know, I mean, we talk about society and what's going on and all that, and it's like everybody's living like they're on their last nerve. And there's a lot of things contribute to that. So,
I was getting on a bus the other day, and it was like a full on about to be of like a fight that was about to start. And it was a woman against two men.
Yeah.
And it wasn't going to end well for the two guys.
Yeah.
She had just come back from the gym.
Right. No, it can be anything, but it gets out of proportion, like I say, so quickly that people literally have no emotional reserve. They're living on their last nerve. And, you know, there's so many things that are involved in that. I always joke that one good interaction with customer service is enough to put you over the edge if you had to call a call center. And in some cases, that's true. But the increasing habit of businesses, more and more, you're not going to talk to a person, just not going to happen, you know, that they found efficiency ways that we don't ever have to interact. I think that lack of human interaction absolutely gets on people's last nerve.
Oh yeah, it does, and unfortunately, companies figure, I'm saving money. Oh no, you're not. You may be saving money, but you're actually going to lose money on the long run.
Well, right, exactly.
In fact, unfortunately, I was unfortunately reminded of Michael Douglas made a number of movies that dealt with the human condition on a number of things, whether it be marriage, infidelity, what have you. One of his more interesting ones was Falling Down, about a fired tech worker,
uh-huh.
an aerospace engineer,
right.
And he basically had enough, and he basically decided he got him a gun and started basically whatever he had peeved him off, he decided he was going to correct it.
Yeah, oh yeah, and you know that movie is 31 years old now. So we're talking about someone who would otherwise be an ordinary individual who winds up with just talk about a hyper reaction. It clearly, of course, becomes psychotic. That's about the movie. But yeah, I think we are seeing more and more people who just don't have the emotional reserve to deal with life's, you know, varieties and verities, just what happens day to day. Fewer and fewer people are equipped to handle that. So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, and I think also when we say, oh, we'll just give them a tablet that basically says, okay, what fails as you, they fail to build that reserve.
Well, that's right.
Even some version of it or be able to deal with, okay. And then, of course, then that's where we say, oh, we're going to give a championship for each one of these things. Instead of realizing that, as life, you don't always win.
Well, right,
life
right,
is
yeah.
Not fair.
Yeah, yeah. The coddling of the feelings has had an absolute unexpected reaction, to say the least. So, yes, not every child gets a trophy or shouldn't. But so, of course, we could go on and on. But it's an interesting world we live in, and I think that the summer will be very interesting between solar flares and political conventions. We're going to see a lot. A lot of things happened this summer.
Yeah, and then of course, like now, of course, here they're just firing off M-80s, like as if they're professional marine artillerymen.
Well, right, and yeah, that goes back to that's the ultimate acting out in some of these things. And I don't know. We will sit back and watch it, and hopefully, just play some R&B oldies in the meantime. Always good to hear from you, James.
Okay,
right,
you
thanks.
Take care and have a great 4th of July. I'll probably call you
okay.
tomorrow.
Yeah,
night.
I will definitely be live, so I look forward to it. Thanks. Yeah, it'll be 4th of July here. And I remember last 4th of July, and I was right here, actually, sitting here talking to you. And we do something on one of the radio stations that I've gotten Globe, and we choreograph the fireworks that the big mining company Freeport MacMoRan puts on, and it's usually a very nice broadcast, and my morning man who sets it up goes to a lot of trouble for this. So 1 minute into the fireworks last year, the power goes out in the area, everywhere. Somebody hit a pole. And so, of course, I think, well, I don't have a problem. I have generators. They all work. Yeah, well, not if the fuel line is turned off. And this day, I don't know who turned it off, but to say the least, we now have a little lock on it, but we didn't then. In any event, I was sitting here, and as I'm trying to, you know, talk to you guys and look at the news, then fire breaks out. And I'm sitting here wondering. So tomorrow night's going to be interesting. I am expecting absolutely no activity. I expect the fireworks to go off without a hitch and our music to choreograph it. We'll see. The other thing with political season, if you're a licensee, is that people want to buy commercials, and you basically have to sell them. There's a whole rigmarole involved in what you have to do and how you have to do it. But it's just fascinating the amount of people who in the last 4 days have felt the need for these spots now, and like tomorrow. And so, I have to explain the realities of how this has to work. And so so it'll be an interesting 4th of July. And I'm really looking forward to talking to you because that'll be my respite. We'll have a good time. And I will do, without a doubt, I will do the entire Loveland saga. And, we started to talk with Chad in Louisville about this. And we played the Charles Wright hit, which actually is my favorite version of that. But we'll get into all the murkiness of Loveland. Yeah, there wasn't much love in Loveland for quite a while here. So we'll go over that and whatever else you'd like to talk about. Likewise for next hour. If it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. So call 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio. Wow, I sure missed that. I don't know where I was, but clearly not here. So now, I promise, though, a little town flirt, and you'll get it.
Here she comes. Here she comes. That little town flirt.
Here she comes.
You're gonna get hurt.
that look in her eyes.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and absolutely Del Shannon, Little Town Flirt, 1962, on Big Top. He wrote it. Big Top was a cute little label, actually, and Donna Juan were on it, several other people. It was a subsidiary of Hill & Range, actually, and it was interesting, because if you have a lot of Big Top records, sometimes it's Big Top is one word, sometimes it's Big Top is two words, you know, but they never really got that together, but they did get a number of fine 45s out of that label anyway. So 888-876-5593. Cynthia in Darien, Illinois, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. I've called before. I digress. I just want to say I'm a nurse, but I digress. I'm not throwing credentials, but I'm just saying that you have made such an impact on my life, and God bless Jim and how you've reached out to him for his situation with his medical conditions. And you know what? You've done more good, for lack of a better word, and helpful. The point is, you should be in healthcare. Well, I digress. No, you should be in healthcare, because guess what? Duh. No, you really, really listen. You've impacted my life. And you've impacted Jim, and it just touches me the way you really listened to him and helped him to reach out, you know, considering his medical issues, number one, and then his family. And I just wanted to say that you're unbelievable, and that's in a good way. And thanks to you, I can't sleep now, because I have to listen to you 10 to 1, and then I listen to that idiot after you. But I digress.
Well,
no, but I just want to say you need to know that WGN needs to know that, because you are like, oh my God, you saved Jim's life. You've saved so many lives, including myself, because I've been so burned out on nursing. So, because I really care, that's my problem.
Yeah.
But I digress. You've impacted my life so much, and to Jim and to all your other callers that call for help and whatever, you deserve the presidential award. No, you really do. I'm not being corny, but you have helped so many lives, including mine, and you really made a difference, and you need to know that. You really need to know that, and so does WGN. I know you live in Arizona.
Yeah.
But I just want to say, OMG. You know, when I feel sorry about the stress I've been under with nursing, and then I listen to Jim and so many other problems, but mainly like Jim, because you've helped him so much. OMG.
Well, that's
no.
So,
OMG. Yeah. That's all I can say. Huh?
So kind of you. Now, but I have to tell you, I'm very humbled, because you're the star here. I mean, nursing, my God, what a difference you make directly in people's lives. And it's because, it is absolutely true.
I'm not degrading your compliment, but I'm trying to say, as much as we try, I've been told that I'm too soft-spoken, but guess what? You know, you piss me off. I'm not going there. But no, I'm trying to say, don't be so humble. You deserve the honor, the recognition. And if WGN lets you go, you better call me back.
No. This is the last hurrah for me. I was supposed to be retired, so no, it won't happen like that. But I'll do it as long as I can.
Give me a break.
And we'll see how long that'll go.
No, give me a break. You need to know. You need to know that you have made such a difference in everybody's life, including my own. And like Ralph Waldo Emerson said, because one life has breathed easier because you have lived, that is to succeed. And guess what? No, it was more than one life, and you need to know that.
Well, thank you,
really you
so much. I hope you will call me again soon. It's time to go to the news, find out what's wrong with the world, and I hope I will hear from you again. And keep doing what you're doing. It is appreciated.
Well, same to you.
Okay.
You know.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay.
And we'll find out what's going on in the world at large right now on WGN Radio.
St. James Infirmary, saw my baby there, stretched out on a long white table, so sweet, so cold, so fair. Let her go, God bless her. Wherever she may be, she can look this wide world over. She'll never find a sweet man like me. When I die, I want you to dress me straight leg shoes, box back coat, and a Stetson hat. Put a $20 gold piece on my watch chain so the boys will know that I died standing pat.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and yep, Johnny D wanted St. James Infirmary, and it's interesting in that that was based on a traditional song, something long before copyright, so real public domain stuff, and there are some versions of it too. It was the Bard of Armagh, and some folks in the early 20s did it, and then of course later others did as well. And then St. James Hospital, and that was predominantly an instrumental original, but it was based on traditional, as they say. So again, no writer credit of note. But a number of people did that version, including Pete Seeger did it at St. James Hospital, and many others. But then when you get into St. James Infirmary, and by the way, there were some St. James hospitals with lyrics, like we were saying, like Pete Seeger. But you get into St. James Infirmary, that's Louis Armstrong in a Savoy Ballroom 5, and that came out in February of 29, and I think it was actually recorded in December, and that was the first release of it. And then, you know, I'm often amazed at how many versions there are of something, but yeah, this one, 764 versions of some type of St. James Hospital or St. James Infirmary, not too many of the Bard of Arg, which is just as well. But nonetheless, I would say you can't find many people who didn't do it, you know, including Rusty Draper, all right, and Dick Curless. All right, so you got people from all musical walks of life who did St. James Infirmary, but that was the original. All right, so 888-876-5593. David is a first-time caller in Lexington, North Carolina. So, David, welcome to WGN Radio.
Thank you, dear lady. I was living up there in Chicago for about 2 years, maybe about 3 years ago. I was driving a truck up that way for the railroad system up that way.
Well, great, and now you're in Lexington, North Carolina. Are you originally from North Carolina?
Yes, ma'am. Yes,
okay. Ma'am. From Lexington?
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, wow. All right. Yeah. So for people who don't know, that's not all that far from the Greensboro area. And so, you know, just and High Point and all that. So, yes, good deal. Glad to have you.
All right. Well, dear lady, I have a song request here tonight, okay?
All right.
All right. It is now the 4th of July, dear lady, and I would love to hear Johnny Cash singing The Old Flag.
Okay. All right. I will get that out. And interesting, you didn't call for a beach music song, but that's all right. We'll get The Old Flag out for you.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Okay.
All right. Yes, so 888-876-5593. I think I'll have time to do that tonight, but if I don't, I will definitely do that tomorrow night. Because bottom line there is it is 4th of July, and we will be live for 3 big hours. So, Gary and Austin, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Well, hey, Raleigh. How you doing tonight?
Yeah, I don't know anymore. But try, try not to think about it and just have a good time. So what's up?
Yeah. No, that's all you can do is just try to enjoy yourself. Yeah, I've been thinking about Jim in Richmond's radio reception problem.
Uh-huh.
And I think he may just have to use a smartphone, because I was thinking about trying to hear a signal from 100 miles away on a radio. And, of course, I live in a pretty urban area, so it's really hard to hear that. And I guess I do have a 50,000-watt station, a couple of them, actually.
Yes, you do.
680 is a little stronger than 1,200, but during the day, anyway.
Right.
But they're not really that listenable, so I think it might just be better to use his phone.
I'm not sure he uses a phone.
Okay, I heard him say he had an iPhone yesterday.
Yeah, so what we're going to have to do is get him to be able to connect to streams so he can hear him.
Yeah, if he can hear the WGN stream or whatever somehow.
Yeah.
I mean, I would like to say, you know, the radio would be the way to go because we all love radio, but I'm just thinking about in real world, you know, reception conditions and all that he may not be able to hear it because of
when you're in that phase zone at night, that can just wreak all sorts of havoc. And you know, that's real possible. So you betcha. Next time Jim calls, I want to go over his smartphone with him and see if he's listening to streams or how we can get him to do that easily.
Because I listen, I don't even turn a radio on. I mean, even if I want to hear my AM station, they've got, one of them has a translator, so I don't need to turn the AM side on.
Isn't that sad?
And the other one,
other AM is,
you know, either sports talk or you know, the second tier tacos. So.
Oh, I know, and some of those can be hilarious, especially the guys who buy their own time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, some of these guys, they're serious as a heart attack. It's hilarious. I mean, I know they don't expect me to laugh, but I am.
That's true. But just some thoughts on that. And, you know, when I heard him say iPhone, I thought, well, maybe he can.
What would you recommend? Of course, you can go to WGNradio.com, and I don't know how great, you know, how accessible that is if you're blind. But do you have any apps that you really like to pick up various streams?
I use several aggregators just because they're easy and I can go from A to B to C.
Who's the easiest aggregator out there for a newbie?
Simple Radio is pretty easy. Now, they don't have some of the bigger companies, but GN's on there. And there are a lot of, you can find some interesting things on there.
Yeah, I think I'm on there, actually.
KJ's on there.
I think, you know, the stream we have 24 hours a day for the Raleigh James Show is on it.
I got an app recently called, I think it's called Radio Box, and the stream's on that one.
Some of those, and if you have Apple Music, I believe they have WGN on Apple Music.
Okay.
So you might be able to tell Siri to play Apple Music, play WGN on Apple Music.
It'd be great if you could just say play WGN. I wonder if that's possible.
Yeah. It might. Yeah, I think you probably could.
Okay, so play WGN. All right.
Yeah, you can try that and see. I don't use Siri because I'm...
No.
My friend's hollering, he can.
You can say Siri.
So Siri, play WGN. We'll go with that because, I don't use Siri either. You know, I disable all those kind of things. But it can be a godsend when you otherwise are not able to pick up things. So if it's as simple as just enabling Siri and say play WGN, that's a great idea.
Yeah, I use that stuff when I need to, but generally I don't. But I don't have it automatically turned on. I have to make it, I have to bring it up. I want it to do something. So, I've been thinking about that because it's just so hard to hear radio these days.
Well, there's so much interference from so many sources. Yeah. And then, of course, we're at the peak of the sunspot cycle, so God only knows. And it's summer, so, tropical tropoducting and all that.
Yeah.
You name it, you've got problems.
Yeah, it's fun for FM DXers.
Television, too, that's right. I've mentioned that many times, how enthralled I'd be, driving through D.C. and I'm hearing all the stations in Little Rock. There are stations I would never listen to in Little Rock if I was in there, but the fact that I'm in D.C. hearing them suddenly, that's the most fascinating radio I've ever heard. I love when
I've
that happens.
I've been to Little Rock and there's not much there.
That's correct.
72
That's exactly
correct. The station there was running solid gold rock and roll.
Yeah, so. KWY radio. Yeah, exactly. But that'll happen where you'll suddenly get, 12 stations from Tampa. And it's great. It won't last forever, that's for sure. But TV was good that way, too. You'd turn on Channel 2 and there would be Houston when you least expected it.
I had a great black and white TV, and the last channel I ever got on it was Channel 2 in L.A.
Oh, wow.
And I turned it off because I had to go to work.
Never again.
Hate to leave a good opening to go to work.
Exactly.
So when I came back, turned that TV on, it never came back on.
Ever.
So,
no, that was a once in a lifetime appearance. Yeah.
But it was a great TV. I mean, I could get stuff from pretty much on a regular basis. From 60 or 70 miles away, which I couldn't get on my other TVs.
Right.
I hated to see that.
Right. I know people don't realize it, but back in the good old analog days, television reception was a lot like radio reception. Some were better than others.
Sure, it was. Yep,
you betcha. Mm. All right.
Anyway, that's just some thoughts on...
That's a great thought, and especially the Siri thing. I'm very encouraged because I think that if you'll just enable Siri, play WGN, that'll be great.
And I know, I think he had said his friend listened to some other station, or maybe, it possibly would do the same for him, too. So,
yeah, it's interesting how much is on Siri, and also interesting how much isn't.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
Yeah, there's no real rhyme or reason to it that I can find.
Yeah, and then, some apps have some company. I wish there was just a universal app that had everybody, you wouldn't have to worry about it.
Well, I agree with that. That would be, and I don't know why there isn't, because an aggregator, I'm still, though, wondering how aggregators are able to drop commercials in the middle of streams.
Yeah, I don't know how that happens. I was listening to something on my phone, and they did that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like,
And I don't get it, because to me, all the aggregator is doing is pointing to the URL so that that doesn't have to be their bandwidth. But apparently, in some way, it is.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know where those came from.
Yeah.
Because they were geo-targeted to me, so I knew it was coming from, probably the aggregator.
Right, but the aggregator, you would think, what makes it good for them is not having to have any bandwidth, just direct it. But you can't drop commercials in it that way. They're doing something.
Yeah, that's true.
I'd be curious to know what it is.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody will call and explain it to us.
Maybe they will.
I won't hold my breath. All right.
Yeah.
Well, good to hear from you. Thank you.
Sure.
Appreciate it. All right. So 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And shortly before the show, I realized that the only thing I had eaten all day, I rented it. I didn't get to keep it for very long in any direction. And after that explosion, I thought, at some point here, I'm going to have something, or I'm going to fall over. Well, hey, I've only got a half hour. I can make it. But so I was just eating, and as I was eating, I was thinking, Yeah, I'll make it through the show, but I have a feeling I'm just leasing this meal too. Oh, well, enough of that. More information than you probably ever wanted. 888-876-5593. We'll get to Karen in Chicago and Johnny D in Ohio, and you too coming up on WGN Radio.
I walked through a county courthouse square on a park bench. An old man was sitting there. I said, your old courthouse is kind of run down. He said, no, it'll do for our little town. I said, your old flagpole has leaned a little bit, and that's a ragged old flag you got hanging on it. He said, have a seat, and I sat down. Is this the first time you've been to our little town? I said, I think it is. He said, I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag. You see, we got a little hole in that flag there when Washington took it across the Delaware. And it got powder burned the night that Francis Scott Key sat watching it write and say, can you see? And it got a bad rip in New Orleans with Pakenham and Jackson tugging at its seams. And it almost fell at the Alamo beside the Texas flag, but she waved on, though. She got cut with a sword at Chancellorsville, and she got cut again at Shiloh Hill. There was Robert E. Lee, Beauregard, and Bragg, and the south wind blew hard on that ragged old flag. On Flanders Field in World War I, she got a big hole from a Bertha gun. She turned blood red in World War II. She hung limp and low a time or two. She was in Korea, Vietnam. She went where she was sent by her Uncle Sam. She waved from our ships upon the briny foam, and now they've about quit waving back here at home. In her own good land here, she's been abused. She's been burned, dishonored, denied, and refused. And the government for which she stands is throughout the land. And she's getting threadbare and she's wearing thin, but she's in good shape for the shape she's in. Because she's been through the fire before.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and I think it was David in North Carolina who wanted to hear. Yeah, ragged old flag. Johnny Cash, 1974 on Columbia. All right, we'll get to Johnny D and his requests, and Karen in Chicago, Tune In Radio, and Jim in Richmond. All right, the man of the hour. We'll find out how he's doing, maybe with his iPhone trying to listen to the radio. So all that and more is coming up in the next half hour here on WGN Radio.
I'm just sitting in the balcony, just watching a movie, or maybe it's a symphony. I wouldn't know. I don't care about the symphony. Those are cymbals and the timpani. I'm just sitting in the balcony on the very last row. I'll hold your hand and I'll kiss you too. Sitting in the balcony, holding hands in the balcony, just sitting in the balcony on the very last row. Stop loving to watch Bugs Bunny, but he can't take the place of my honey.
WGN radio. I'm Roger James. So, yeah, you want it, you got it. Eddie Cochran, Sitting in the Balcony, 1957 on Liberty. And it was John D. Loudermilk who wrote that. If you look at the 45, it says Johnny D., and that is who he is. And, of course, we have Johnny D. as well, and we'll have him in a moment. But I want to get to Jim in Richmond first to find out if he can use his iPhone as a radio. So, Jim, welcome back to WGN.
Raleigh, thank you very much for everything you do for me.
Oh, my pleasure. So tell me, can you use your iPhone to pick up radio stations?
I want to first off to say thank you to Ruth. If I was there, I would sing with her in the store.
All right.
And thank you for the nurse. I don't remember her name.
Okay.
But she told you all the things that I've been saying about you.
That was Cynthia, by the way. Cynthia.
Right. And that's how I feel about you.
Oh, well, that's
what
very
she
kind
was
of
saying.
You. Very kind of you.
And number three, I listened to you on the WGN app on my phone.
Oh, okay.
And that's how I get your... I listen to Bob Surratt in the morning.
Great.
Because I used to listen to him when
WLS.
He was on WBBM FM when he first came on.
Okay.
And then I listened to John Williams.
Uh-huh.
And then I listened to you.
Well,
and
you.
That's how I get that, you know.
Good.
But I get frustrated because this is about the time I told you before that I'll be listening to your show and like, you know, and all of a sudden they break in with commercials.
In the middle of
whoever you're talking to.
Wow.
And that's what frustrates me. And that's why I went to the CC Radio. And they're sending me out a catalog, which
I'll tell you another circle. Yeah, no, that's great. But I'll tell you another secret. You know, I stream, I stream the show, too. And I don't put any commercials in it anywhere. And so,
right, it's not you. I don't know if
But you can go to my stream and you won't hear any of the commercials. And that's
what is your stream?
Okay, the easiest thing to do is go to Raleigh.net, Raleigh.net, and then you will see links right there in easy print. So if you're having a reader do it or whatever, it's easy to see it, and it just says streaming.
Right.
You can just click on it.
Right.
But
because
the shows are also downloadable, you know, so if you ever want to hear them again, I've got every one of them up there.
Right. I understand that.
Yeah.
Now you derailed my train of thought.
I'm so sorry.
No, that's okay. I'm just saying I went to them. They're going to send me out a radio.
Okay.
They're going to circle in the catalog that a radio that I can listen here and not have all the static that I had on the pocket radio. They told me that the antenna was too small.
Interesting.
And I'm waiting to get that catalog and then figure out a radio I can get because I am frustrated because I hear so many commercials for Iowa.
Right.
Iowa HHS, Iowa this and Iowa that. And that's all the commercials that I get when I listen to to the show. I live in Wisconsin, and I'm like a million miles away from Iowa. Why am I hearing commercials for Iowa?
Because it's bad geofencing. They're getting you by virtue of the IP address you land up on, and in their database, that IP address may tell them that it's Iowa incorrectly, but it may tell them that.
Right, and I want to thank everybody for. I said this to you many times before. Thank you for being interested in me.
Oh, absolutely.
Right, and that's I've come up three times tonight, and I thank everyone, you know.
Absolutely. Well, real good. But if you can, at some point, check out Raleigh.net, because if you can actually listen to that, you will not hear commercials.
Right, and I will switch over to that. if I can get someone help me tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah, good deal, because I don't want you to have to sit through a zillion commercials, especially for Iowa. Yeah.
And right. I don't know why it's Iowa, but, well, you know.
Some database.
I just.
You know, I'll tell you, not here, but in Globe, when I'm in Globe and my internet connection there, the way their database works, everybody thinks I'm in Albuquerque. So I don't care what I log on to, it shows me where the store is in Albuquerque. I'm like, I'm nowhere near Albuquerque. You know, so it's
right.
It's just for a while, years ago, I had one that said I was in Little Rock, you know, so... It's just the way those databases are. And sadly, it shows that the people who are buying those commercials are not getting their money's worth.
Right. And Raleigh.net is your email address?
Well, no, Raleigh.net is the website. Raleigh.net is the website.
Okay.
The email address is Raleigh@Raleigh.net.
Raleigh@Raleigh.net?
Yeah, that's it. And the trick is just spelling Raleigh, which is Rolleye.
Right, I know that. That's what I have on my phone.
So knowing that, if you just go to Raleigh.net, you should be able to click on a link and be here in the stream or be going to the downloads anytime you want.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, my pleasure.
And tell everybody else, thank you.
Yes, you just did, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye.
Okay, thanks. All right, so, well, good. So Jim is listening online, and that's excellent news. So Karen in Chicago, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi. You know what? I was going to suggest a tune-in radio.
Yeah, well.
When I first got my iPad, I knew nothing about any of this stuff, and my instructor helped me get TuneIn. And I can get just about anything I want, and I can also navigate it now because I'm totally blind. I use a keyboard, a Bluetooth keyboard.
Sure.
And so I navigate my screen with the keyboard, and I can arrow up and down and right and left like I would on. And so I can do that with TuneIn. I can navigate it really easy. And when it comes to streaming and stuff, I don't understand that very well. So this makes it real great for me.
No, it is good, but of course you're not eliminating the commercials.
I could. I tried that TuneIn premium for $19. It wasn't worth it.
Exactly.
The commercial. I don't care.
Exactly.
But I was wondering. Where Jim's from Wisconsin, and so am I. And I was wondering where Richmond is.
Oh, it's I'm trying to think of what the nearest city to him is that you would know. It's off of 89, I think, as far as highways. But I would say, Well, you know where Janesville is?
I know. Oh yeah, I went to school in Janesville.
Okay, well, you could take a back road from Janesville going east. Through Johnstown.
Okay. I'm from Waukesha.
Okay. No, well, this is, this is nowhere near that,
I know. I just wondered because when I hear somebody from Wisconsin, I'm always curious.
Well, it would be, like, due south of White River?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I know where Janesville is.
Yeah, right, exactly. So it'd be due east of that through Johnstown you'd get there.
Yeah, well, I don't know if a keyboard would help Jim or not, but if it would, their Easy Bridge is probably the best one, or you can call, it's called atguys.com, and they are blind, and they can suggest things for you. They suggested the keyboard I'm using now.
Okay, AT like American Telegraph?
Yeah, guys.com.
G-U-Y-S.com. Oh, here we are. ATGuys.com. And they've got a phone number, 269-216-4798.
They're wonderful, and they will explain everything to you. One of the fellows that has helped me a lot, his name is Michael Babcock.
Okay.
And he is so good in explaining how to use something. I had to call him and ask him how to connect my keyboard with my phone, and he explained to me how.
Uh-huh.
They're wonderful. And they sell products that are helpful to blind people.
Yeah, I can see that. There's a ton of stuff here. So that's a good website to know. ATGuys.com. And they've got a number of categories and some hot deals too. So some of it is
they're wonderful. Yeah, and they're so friendly and so helpful. And you talk to a human being.
That is nice. That is real nice. You betcha. Well, good. That's a good suggestion. Thank you for that.
And I'm glad if I can help Jim. God bless him, and I'm praying for him.
Me too. Thanks. Appreciate it. All right, so good deal, atguys.com. How about that? I was unaware of that site, so appreciate Karen hipping us to that. Johnny D. in Ohio, welcome to WGN Radio.
Well, thank you, Raleigh. From a proud narcissist to a great American.
All right, well, you have reason to be a narcissist. Every time you send those wonderful pictures of your family, you've done very well.
Yeah, I guess. It's all in the genes, Raleigh.
Okay. Yeah, I think part of it's the way you reared them.
Yeah, I think what do we call Becky? The lovely and talented.
The lovely and talented Becky. Yes, absolutely. She's a big part of that. You betcha.
Let's give her all the credit.
Okay.
But you know what? I've been taking care of her all day.
Really? What's
Believe
up?
That?
What's up?
She's got, what do you call that, vertigo?
Oh, God, I had that for like 5 years. Oh, my God. How did she get vertigo?
I don't know, because today I woke up, and, you know, she was still asleep.
Right.
And that ain't right, you know, because anyhow, so I went in there, and she said she had vertigo. You know, she couldn't open her eyes, you know.
Well, right. It's for people who don't know, it's not the same as being dizzy. And most of the time, they have no idea what causes it. That's why they call it benign paroxysmal positional vertigo, because they have no clue. But usually you'll find that if you're moving your head in one direction, it's much worser than if you're moving your head in the other. And what it feels like is it literally feels like the room is spinning completely, like going around almost in a circle.
Yeah. I had it years ago.
I had it, and
you know, right? It was I don't know how I got there, but I went to my doctor.
Yeah, well, most people.
They give you some sinus pills or something.
Well, it very often is a middle ear issue, and that might be helpful. But you know, most people, the first time they get a good dose of vertigo, they immediately think they're having a brain tumor, and they run to the doctor. Well, most likely they're not. But it's very, very disquieting. But again, like when you had it, if you move your head in one direction, it can be completely different than in another direction. So,
It was frightening, though. It was frightening.
It is frightening because you literally get the feeling that the room is spinning around in a circle and you can't walk on your own to the bathroom. You got to hold on to the walls.
I had to help her. She had to go.
So
I said, hold on to my shoulder.
Yeah.
You know,
has she ever?
I said, keep your eyes closed.
Right. Okay? Has she ever had it before?
I think maybe she must have because she knew what she had, you know.
Well, all right.
I mean.
So, if it's a middle ear thing like it was with you when they gave you something for sinus medication, that's an easy fix. Of course, if it's a situation
for me, I remember that.
Right. Well, of course, if it's a situation where they have no clue, that's when they call it BPV, and benign. Right. They're just clueless. That it took me 5 years to be totally free of it.
No kidding.
Yep.
How the heck did you get along?
You'd have attacks of it more than constant. But I picked it up while I was living in Salt Lake City, and then near Salt Lake City anyway, Utah County, and then from there. Chattanooga, I had it pretty bad. When I got to Arizona, I still had it pretty bad. I haven't.
Wait a minute, not to interrupt, but you said you picked it up like it's some kind of virus.
It's not a virus, but I mean, I just woke up one day in Utah County and the room was spinning, literally. And so, I had that for 5 years and it wasn't constant. But it was, it was sort of low-grade constant, but the attacks where I literally couldn't walk without holding onto walls, that might happen like 4 days and then it wouldn't. But what I found is when I was lying in bed, if I moved my head, say, to the left, maybe it'd be much worse than if I moved my head to the right. So I would try to find the positions.
I think it, not to yeah. interrupt, but I think I realized what caused mine. But
yeah,
I was taking too many opiates.
Well, as far as that goes, I mean, opioids have obviously can have an effect on, you know, on the auditory canals, but no, you're mostly looking at like Meniere's disease, middle ear infections can be very common. So that's the first thing people think with vertigo is that it's and if it is a middle ear infection, that's pretty curable. It's when there is no obvious infection and nothing they can treat, and it's just not going away. That's when they call it BPV, meaning we have no clue, and you know, eventually it will. It'll go away, but there's inner ear infections too, like labyrinthitis, and
I think that's what I had.
Okay,
labyrinthitis,
and vestibular neuritis—they kind of go hand in hand. So yeah, but if Becky doesn't feel better, you want to have a workup
She's
and find out. Well, yeah,
She's
let her sleep. Sleep is sacred. Let her sleep.
Oh,
all
it's
she
the
can.
Best thing. Best
yeah.
thing.
Yeah, but then, you know, if she's lucky, then it's just a little ear infection. If she's not lucky, then it's going to be her friend for a while.
Oh, God forbid. Because, I had to get her, make her waffles today.
Sure. It could be Meniere's disease, but...
I don't know, but if it don't go away, I'm going to make her go to the doctor.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And,
I can't have her like this.
Oh, man. There's our caregiver there. There you are.
Well, I tell you,
the room is spinning for her, and you're thinking, I don't need this. There's Mr. Sympathy.
I kept checking. I go in there and say, any better?
Yeah, and she looks at you like you're out of your mind. But
I pacified her. You know, I told her, watch her Fox News. She was watching the Fox News. You know,
well, or listen to it anyway. Listen to it. And like I say, she may be able to find a position with her head where the room isn't spinning. Now, of course, you can't keep your head in that position nonstop, but that should work for a while.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Robbie. Now, listen. Now, who was the nurse? Cynthia?
Yeah, so, you've got requests?
No, she said something about Emerson making a quote, if you help somebody or something.
Yes.
So then that brought to mind a quote, and I'm not sure who said it. Maybe you could help me. What time is it? Is it almost the end of the show?
Almost, and I think there's a commercial break between now and then.
All right, well, here's the quote. Most men live lives of quiet desperation.
Yes, don't they, though?
Was that Emerson or was it Thoreau?
I'm trying to think of who that is. And
because that was hanging on a bar.
I thought it was Thoreau.
I think
it is Thoreau. Now, you're going to find out that I'm no English scholar, but I'm pretty sure it's Thoreau.
Most men live lives of quiet desperation.
It's true.
Okay.
Women do too.
I know it's true. And the way I first seen that quote, maybe in my 20s.
I think the quote is the mass of men live lives of quiet desperation, but it's the same kind of thing. But I think that's Thoreau. And I think
Thoreau.
I think
okay,
that
was one of
that was
Emerson.
Yeah, no, it was Thoreau because it was written in Walden. So.
Walden Park.
Yeah, Walden.
What
Park.
Is it? Walden
pond.
Pond.
It's a pond.
Yeah, on Walden Pond or something like that.
It's a pond. So, that is the deal. Now,
you know when I first seen that quote, and it really struck me. I was about like 20. Are we going away now or what?
No, well, we almost are, actually. I'm going to have to... What I want you to do is call me tomorrow. But the reason that I told you the quote, the mass of men lead lives of quiet desperation, is that is somewhat different than saying most men. And so that's very often a misquoted phrase. So it's not most men.
Well, that's
men.
What it said on a placard
no,
behind
said,
the bar.
It says the mass of men lead lives of quiet desperation. So,
well, somebody that made that placard did it wrong because they had most men.
Oh, no. That's commonly misquoted. Another quote that I really liked by him was, you must work very long to write short sentences. But in any event, call me back tomorrow night and call me earlier. And we've got 3 hours to spend together.
Okie dokie, then.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
I got a song request.
Well, give it. Okay, quickly give it to me now.
Oh, it's Ray Charles, America the Beautiful. Okay. Ruth maybe think of that.
Okay, good deal. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks.
Okay.
All right. And I don't know if we're going to get to David City, David in Forest City, or Carl in Riverside, or Sherry in Naperville, but John says, I'm out of time. So be it on WGN Radio. And that is a wrap. So tomorrow night, we're live on the 4th of July. Please call me then. Until then, I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.